Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Put your phones away, friends. It's time for Advanced. Oh, listeners, welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me in the studio. Hopefully, if you are listening on your phone, you did not take my advice and put the phone away. I hope you're still with us. Us being myself and my co-host, Rhonda, we're doing our January Newsworthy Clips. This is our third lesson, and it has an interesting title. It's called, Should You Practice Abstinence? Normally, that's a different word, right, Linda? I just called you Linda. Sorry about that, Rhonda.
I'm Rhonda. It does sound like Linda.
I've been on radio with Linda for a while now.
Well, Simon, I'm old enough to be your mother, so I'm glad I can get on radio with you because I can be motherly. Sometimes I have to correct you.
I'm just glad they're still letting me on.
You are brilliant
you
at
never
conversation.
Know when you're in media, you never know when your time will come.
Well, if we encourage our listeners through this article to think about not using their phones so much.
Unless they're listening to Advance.
Unless you're listening to Advance. We have to tread carefully. Now, this word abstinence isn't a real word. It's a play on word. That's why you'll see in the magazine two single quote marks around that. I don't know if English writing does that particularly, but that's single quote marks around. I can't talk. Single quote marks around the word, something I use a lot when I say something in a text or email that I don't mean literally. I might put quote marks around it. Do you do that, Simon?
Sometimes. I mean, listeners, listen, the discussion of this title is actually in our first reading. So we are in a really difficult situation here. Do we talk about it in the title? Do we talk about it in the reading? I think we should talk about it now. The word generally is abstinence with an A-B, and then the stinence that is in lowercase there in your magazine. And basically, it comes from the word abstain, which means like don't do something or don't use something. And so when you abstain from something, you stop doing it. You stop using that thing. If you're abstaining from smoking, for example, then you stop smoking. You don't use tobacco products. You are abstaining. But here, they have used the word app, A-P-P. Now, I want to say very, very quickly here, often in Asia, when you're reading English, they use this word spelled in all capital letters, A-P-P, and people say A-P-P, but that is not a native English speaker practice.
Right.
Here, it's in capitals to draw your attention to the fact that the word is misspelled. It's like a play on words.
Yes.
So abstinence is not a real word. Native speakers don't say, oh, I downloaded a new APP. We say, I downloaded a new app. And we would generally spell it lowercase a, lowercase p, lowercase p.
And it's short for
application.
Right.
Like a program that has some performed function.
So we've got a lot going on here with the way this is printed. Thanks for explaining that. So
I'm exhausted.
Even if it was too lowercase. And I also want to say, I don't understand why, listeners, but I'm going to point out that abstinence and abstain come from the same root. But look at the crazy spelling change when abstain becomes the noun. Abstinence. I can't explain it, can you?
Well, I mean, quite clearly here, what they are suggesting is that we should abstain from using apps.
Let's just get the meaning right.
In the introduction I said, put your phones away. Mm-hmm. It's time for Advanced. So they're suggesting you basically take a break from your apps. Mm-hmm. Now they say, should you practice? Practice means make it a part of your everyday routine. It doesn't mean like practicing English, as in like I practiced English today.
Right.
It means
repeated.
You know, my daily practice involves English review, which means my daily routine, right? Mm-hmm. So that's basically what they're saying. Should you be abstaining from using apps in your daily life?
What do you think, Simon? What do you think?
I like my phone, you know? I have some sort of guidelines I try to follow around my phone. Like, I try to consciously prioritize my children over the phone. So, you know, when they come in and they want to talk, I try to make sure I put the phone away. You know, I don't use the phone during meals, for example, things like that.
You abstain.
Yeah, so I have some guidelines for use that I think are helpful. But I find my phone a real enabler. Like, it helps me get a lot of stuff done.
Well, I actually am interested in the points in this short article because I want to practice abstinence with my phone. So I'm going to try abstinence.
I think it depends on which apps you find yourself using.
True.
I mean, how you're spending your phone time probably has a big effect.
Yes.
But we'll get into that a little bit more as we do our reading. Listeners, we're going to do two readings today. If you have your Advanced magazine, I would encourage you to open it up to the page that says, "Should you practice abstinence?" And join us as we read into the article now. Let's do it together.
Should you practice abstinence? Abstinence, which refers to abstaining from using your apps, is a movement encouraging people to get off social media and become less attached to their smartphones. It was founded by Harvard graduate student Gabriella Nguyen, the 24-year-old who grew up in the center of big tech in Silicon Valley, realized she was addicted to both social media and her phone, probably from an early age, so she decided to do something about it and started a club at school for her fellow students, along with the website Abstinence. Aimed at her Gen Z and Gen Alpha peers, although it applies to everyone who feels they have an unhealthy relationship with tech, which is basically all of us, Abstinence foregoes popular quick fixes like screen time controls, algorithm hacking, or digital detoxes, and offers something much more radical, a five-step method to free yourself once and for all from the chains of technology addiction. Abstinence's five-step method can be summed up in just as many words: decrease, deactivate, delete, downgrade, and depart. The idea isn't to be completely phone-free, but to eventually be able, over time, to downgrade to some type of dumbish phone without social accounts. People should know they have the choice to opt out of social media.
All right, there's our word again, abstinence. And it tells us here that it refers to abstaining from using your apps. So I would say the writer did not have a high degree of confidence that native speakers would get this play on words. What would you say?
Well, I can see why because of, excuse me.
I mean, they pointed out.
Sorry, can I start that sentence over? Do you notice how poorly I speak English sometime? Seriously, I think it's helpful to see both words so close together because the spelling of abstain is not consistent with the way in English we spell abstinence.
Yeah. If you were not a native speaker, you would not make the connection.
Right.
We laid out in the title when we were talking about the title. But if you were, I maybe shouldn't say native speaker. If you are more fluent, you'll pick up on this definitely after the title in the first sentence, that it's a play on words. But nonetheless, having to point out your play on words doesn't suggest a high level of confidence
in
your play of words.
Well, we can see abstinence is a movement. Mm-hmm. It's a somewhat organized, somewhat distinct
effort.
Trend.
Yeah.
Effort, yes.
To get people off social media and become less attached to their smartphones, it was founded by a Harvard graduate student who is 24 years old and grew up in the center of big tech in Silicon Valley. Now, this graduate student made a realization. What did she realize?
She realized she was addicted to both social media and her phone. Now, addicted and abstain go together because in English, the word abstinence is typically associated with drinking alcohol, choosing to not drink alcohol. Of course, other drugs could be included, but abstain from alcohol, addicted to alcohol is a typical way. In fact, this fact that this program has certain steps you take, we'll talk about it later, it's really kind of a model or a similar to the way people stop drinking alcohol. Is that correct, Simon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If Simon sounds says yes to me, I know I've done a good job. Yeah. I like to look for Simon's affirmation.
My affirmation. That's very kind of you. Okay, so basically she's decided she's going off the phone. And so she started a website to encourage other people to do the same. I understand why. This is an issue I have found myself dealing with as a parent already. There are kids in my children's classes who have far more exposure to screen time. Like, they don't maybe have a phone, but you can tell the parents give them a phone to play a game for prolonged periods of time. So there's like a cultural gap between my children who don't get to do this and these other kids. Like, they know about storylines and stuff, and they're playing games that come from video games that my children are unfamiliar with.
Well, you know,
and
we,
so okay. What I was going to say is, if you want to successfully keep your kids off the phones, you really need to find a group of people who are going to keep their kids off the phones together.
Well, when I was raising my children, again, we're talking 35 years ago, 30 years ago, we didn't want them to, we didn't have a television in our house. So again, parents have always faced challenges. Do I want my kid exposed to something that will create a lifestyle that might not be healthy? But of course, nowadays, it's the whole cell phone, smartphone, online issue is a real challenge for parents. And this writer says probably from an early age, she was addicted. So she decided to do something about it. And when she went to Harvard, she started a club at school for her fellow students, that's just the way to say other students, her fellow students, along with the website. Did she found this website? I can't talk today, Simon.
Or the club did.
Site.
Maybe the club did. But anyway, the website is called Abstinence, which is where this word comes from. And it tells us in the second paragraph that it's aimed at her Gen Z and Gen Alpha peers. I think Gen Z is older than Gen Alpha. So we always end up talking about this every time they mention the generations, but it kind of goes baby boomer, Generation X, millennials, and xenials are kind of in between those two, a subgroup. I mention them because I'm one of them. And then we have, after the millennials, we have Gen Z and then Gen A.
Yeah, someone out there is inventing these terms, by the way. This is not standardized English.
Well, you can sort of see what
there's
happened,
There's always
right?
a new name,
We
yes.
went A, B, C, D, E, F. We got all the way down to Z. I'll use the Canadian Z there. And then we went back to A.
To A,
for Alpha.
Sure. And I also want to say, I spoke to a local university professor in Taipei, and he observed that because of social media, because of rapid advances in the online world, that he sees generations as being about 5 years apart. So it used to be a generation was 20 or even 40 years.
Well, I mean, they're defined by shared experience.
Shared experience.
So they're actually like I grew up in a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
So technology had advanced.
Yes.
But the ruralness meant that there wasn't as much access.
Right.
So I kind of got stuck between generations by virtue of location.
That's why you're so wonderful, Simon.
Oh.
You're stuck
so nice
between
of you to say
generations.
That.
But yes, shared experience. So people's shared technology is changing so fast that generation. There's going to be a lot of generation names.
Long story short, this Harvard graduate student has been involved in the creation of this website that aims at people who are about her age. Although it's for everyone who feels they have an unhealthy relationship with tech, which is basically all of us. An unhealthy relationship with tech just means, you know, you're using technology in ways that you understand are not entirely good for you. They're affecting your sleep. Maybe they're affecting your relationships with other people. Maybe you're wasting too much time. Things like that. Any of those things would mean that abstinence might be good for you. So
and notice the use of the word relationship. We used to just mean people could have a relationship. Now, we do say in English, my relationship with my phone. We say that a lot, and that's used to sound strange. Well, I didn't
now
have a relationship
AI
with
has
my
personalities.
Mm-hmm. So we
so
use
you
the
actually
word relationship.
Can have a relationship with an AI. Mm-hmm.
It's a broader use of the word relationship.
Abstinence, this website, this idea, this movement foregoes popular quick fixes, which basically means it skips them. It ignores them. It doesn't use popular quick fixes like screen time controls. That's what my wife and I use, you know. We say, you can only use this for 20 minutes, and we put a timer on it. They're not messing around with any of this at Abstinence. No, no, no.
Just stop.
That's right. Instead, they're also not messing around with digital detoxes. Now, what do you think those are?
Well, detox is when you do not eat some food or drink for a period of time, because if you detox, it's thought that you are removing harmful substances from your body. So taking a long period, it could just be 24 hours, to not use something. So
people do this with their diets too, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't eat sugar for a month.
Right, detox.
You know, or they go off carbohydrates.
But it's something radical you do to your body. So,
this is you go off your phone.
Yeah,
you go
yeah.
off your phone. But abstinence doesn't do this.
Or they do it to a more permanent
it says,
level. No.
What it does is it offers something
much more radical.
A 5-step method to free yourself once and for all from the chains. The chains, like the slavery of technology addiction, being controlled by your phone. We all know what this is like.
Look.
You know the phantom buzz? Like you feel like your phone is vibrating with a message and you reach for it and there's nothing.
Well, listen.
Your nerves lying to you.
Once and for all, notice the hyphens used. You don't have to use hyphens for that phrase. But if I say, Simon, I'm telling you this once and for all, that means I'm only going to tell you one more time and it's going to be forever.
Well, you can feel this coming here. We're going to go through the 5-step method, right?
Okay.
So it basically says abstinence's 5-step method. You can represent it with 5 words. And they do seem to all begin with D. So 5 Ds, if you will.
Okay.
Decrease, deactivate, delete, downgrade, and depart.
I don't want to speculate. They all start with D-E.
I will say deactivate means shut it down permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may not be shutting your phone down permanently, but I bet it's things like YouTube, like get rid of your YouTube account. Or
uninstall.
Yeah, I don't want to target YouTube unfairly here, but okay, there we go. The idea isn't to be completely phone-free. So that's what you would be doing if you were detoxing. You would turn off the phone, put it away. The idea isn't to be phone-free, but to eventually be able, over time, to downgrade to some type of dumbish phone. That would be your old-style Nokia phone, a smartphone.
Yeah.
Social account.
I find it fun in English that we often put a hyphen ISH. We mean sort of. Dumbish.
Yeah.
It's not a smartphone. It's a regular phone, but here she's having fun with the opposite of smartphone would be one that's dumb-ish.
Yeah. People should know they have the choice to opt out of social media.
Opt out.
Even if they choose not to opt out most of the time. All right. In our second reading, we're going to very quickly go through the 5 steps and learn a little bit more about each, and then we will discuss them together. Let's do our second reading.
How does the process work? Quitting cold turkey is hard. Instead, Nguyen's 5D method decreases your usage incrementally. Here's a breakdown of the steps. Make a list of family and friends. Let each know you'll be moving offline and to reach you by text or phone. Step number 1. Decrease. Delete all of the apps from your smartphone. Only access them on your laptop. Unfollow non-essential accounts and turn off notifications. Step number 2. Deactivate. Start by deactivating the app you use the least. Step number 3. Delete. Strengthen your connections in the real world. Repeat steps 2 and 3 until you've deleted the last app. Step number 4. Downgrade. Get a transition device. Something cheap that will access the basic apps you need. Step number 5. Depart. It could take weeks, months, or over a year.
Well, my goodness. 5 steps sounds like a life ender to me, to be honest, but maybe I'm more addicted to my phone than I thought.
Well, I think it's fun to learn these, to use these 5 cool vocab words, decrease,
well,
deactivate,
delete. Be honest, I think the key here is in the first sentence here, it tells us we don't have to go cold turkey. Cold turkey, of course, is a fairly common English idiomatic expression that just means you quit immediately and completely.
Why is it a bird, turkey? Why does this phrase involve a cold bird that you would normally eat?
I have absolutely no idea where this phrase comes from.
We don't know. But do our readers know that a turkey is like a chicken,
well,
but
I mean,
it's a different...
We're in the time of AI here. I guarantee you people already know they listen to this.
Are there turkeys on this island?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Anyway, nonetheless, turkey, it's a bird. Cold turkey, it could mean meat that has been cooked and then leftover meat in the refrigerator, now it's cold. Or it could mean you are quitting completely. No idea why. Nonetheless, this method doesn't mean you have to quit completely. Instead, it decreases your usage incrementally, step by step.
Incrementally.
So, number one, make a list of family and friends. Let each know you'll be moving offline and to reach you by text or phone. So you're going to need, you know, some sort of way to make phone calls and text messages.
Simon, that verb, moving offline. When I think of moving, I think of going to a different apartment. Why do they say moving offline? I'm not moving.
I don't know.
I've stymied.
Yeah, I mean, Simon. I guess it's because we treat online like a place we
That's
are
true.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I'm moving offline.
Yeah. Even if it's just digital.
Yeah.
We talk about it like it's a place, right?
Changing my position, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, nonetheless, you've got to tell people so they can get a hold of you. And then step one involves decreasing, so deleting your apps and only accessing them on your laptop. So that's interesting. It's not necessarily like you're going completely off. It's just you're not able to check constantly. You're separating your social media from your phone.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's probably not a bad idea, hey? Step two is deactivate. So you get rid of the apps you're not using very much. And then presumably you move towards apps that you're using more. So you're slowly getting rid of more and more apps.
Can I ask about deactivate? Is that the same as the word uninstall that comes up?
No, I think it means you shut down your account.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Because you're like keeping your, say for, well, you just use Facebook as an example. You keep your Facebook account, but you get rid of it on your phone.
Yes, okay.
But as you go through this process of decreasing, you pick the app you use least first.
I see.
And then you deactivate the account and then you delete the app. That's what I take from this. Yeah. So that gets you to step three. Like you're deleting things, removing the apps one by one from the least used to the more used. And then the downgrade is where you actually get a new phone. They call it a transition device. So it's something cheap that will access the basic apps you need. So you still have a sort of smartphone, a phone that has some internet access, for example. And then finally, you depart, which means you presumably switch to a device that is just a phone.
Okay. I'm looking at these 5 D words. Downgrade is the only one that's not D-E. And can I just have some fun with pronunciation? When you say decrease, deactivate, and depart, you use a long E. I say, for the middle one, I don't say delete. Do you say delete?
Yeah.
How should our
friends
say it? Delete or delete?
Delete.
Okay. But you do say depart, or do you say depart?
You know, I want to refrain from speculating about that on the radio because it could be one of those things where the pronunciation changes depending on the word in front of it or behind it, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
yeah.
I don't want to speculate about that too much because we haven't had a chance to look into it. Believe it or not, listeners, there is some research goes on to some of these teaching points.
Especially yeah. Simon. He spends a lot of time researching.
On my phone.
Have you ever thought of inventing an app that no one would ever want to deactivate?
Well, yeah, that would not happen, but yeah.
Watch for Simon's app. What would your app be called?
It's changed over time. Currently, I do not have one. My focus is not on apps.
I want to be the first to know. Mm-hmm. Simon's app.
Okay, I'll let you know. What I would like to know that they don't tell you in this article is if you can do this partway without going all the way through.
Mm.
See, I see real merit in cleaning up your phone,
mm-hmm.
like going through the process of, you know, deactivating and deleting apps from the bottom up,
mm-hmm.
you know, to sort of see how much you really need.
Well,
you know, I recently switched phones, and one of the immediate discoveries, because it downloads the apps in the order of frequency you use them when you switch to the new phone. And so I was shocked at how many apps basically were not downloaded very quickly at all. Like, it does eventually get around to it, but I thought, oh, I don't need that. Oh, I don't need that. Some of them I clicked on, and they weren't even, like, in service anymore, the apps. Like, they'd sort of been removed, things like that. So, yeah, I think a good cleanup would be a good idea at the very least. Listeners, let us know on our social media if you think abstinence is a good idea or if it's something that's just too extreme for you. That brings us to the end of our newsworthy clips. Until next time, I'm Simon.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.